This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
All right, Denton, what do you got?
All right, how about a little bit of Wizards action last night? They couldn't overcome 42 from Jordan Poole. They lose to the Pacers 134-130 in overtime. They are now 9-45 heading into the All-Star break.
Yeah, they tried to win that game. They try hard. Look, I'm not, like I said earlier when we were talking about the new All-Star format, now that the NFL season is over, I've watched a little bit more basketball, more college basketball, but the NBA product in the regular season is just horrendous. But I watched last night. I watched them against the Spurs. And last night, they actually had a big lead. They had like a 15, 16-point lead at one point. But I'm telling you, because I watched the overtime, Jordan Poole must have taken every single shot in overtime. I mean, I would love to go through the play-by-play here. I don't think that he gave the ball up at any point in overtime. It just seemed like every single time he just shot it. Now, there are a lot of shots here in overtime by Jordan Poole. There are a couple by Alex Saar, too. But, Washington playing well. They play hard. I like George of the young guys. Like, I think he's interesting. He is 6'8". He's the dude with a lot of hair, man. And he was their third first-round pick out of Miami last year, he can shoot it, he can defend, he's got really good basketball IQ. The limited amount of times I've watched the Wizards, I like number 18 of their young guys so far. And I think Alex Saar has some real talent. I think Carrington at times looks good, but I don't know what people are saying about their three rookies for this year, their three number ones from last June's draft. But every time I watch the Wizards, which is limited, Kyshawn George, number 18, stands out to me. Do you watch enough to have an opinion on any of the young guys?
I like all the young guys. I think they play hard. You know, I don't think they know
do
how
play
to
hard,
win yet
it seems.
In the NBA. They need a superstar. I don't know that any of them are superstars, but I
agreed.
Do think they're good guys to build an organization around. I'm a big fan of Bob Carrington. Obviously, everybody loves Bilal. You know, I think we've all watched him for a number of years now, and we can see that he is, I mean, he's a great defender.
Well, 2 years.
2 years, yeah. Well, that's a number. He's a great defender, but they don't have a guy like Jordan Poole kind of went takeover yesterday, which is fine because the team is trying to lose games. But if you were trying to win games, I would not want Jordan Poole to be the guy that takes over. So they need a better superstar.
Yeah. Well, Cooper Flagg had 27 for Duke last night in one of those big ACC traditional rivalry games with Duke and Cal. last night, and I was flipping back and forth between that and other things last night, and
he's pretty good.
He's not. Look, there's no Wembanyama in this draft. I don't think there is.
No, there's no Wemby, but I'm not upset about Cooper Flagg. Like, it's not like he's Anthony Bennett You know what I mean?
I understand that. But is he transcendent? I don't know.
I think he definitely makes the team better, assuming that he develops properly.
Yeah.
I think he definitely makes the team better.
Yeah, he's 18 years old. He's 6'9". He's skinny right now. Hopefully he'll get stronger. He can do a lot. I guess, based on the hype of Cooper Flagg, every time I've watched him, I've been impressed, don't get me wrong, but I haven't been blown away.
I do think the hype is a little over the top because we saw Wemby a couple years ago.
Because he's white. And he's going to be, the first pick in the draft, and there's going to be, some sort of... Actually, you know what? I don't even think that matters anymore. Half the league is foreign players. I know they're foreign players, but he will be... correct me if I'm wrong. He's going to be the first... When's the last time an American white college player was picked number one overall?
Oh, God, probably before I was born.
And he's going to be picked number one because it's not going to be Bailey. By the way, if it were going to be anybody of the Rutgers players, it would be Harper.
Harper's good. I do like Zach Harper.
I do, too. I think Bailey looks pretty soft.
To answer your question, half in 2009 when Blake Griffin was drafted.
Blake Griffin was number one overall?
Yes, he was number one overall, didn't play that season, and then stole Rookie of the Year from John Wall in 2010.
Okay, but that doesn't answer the question, though, because he's half. When's the last time a 100% American-born white player was picked number one in the draft? Was it Bill Walton? I mean, Larry Bird? Well, Bird was picked the year before, and he wasn't number one.
Brad Daugherty?
Brad Daugherty's not white.
No, wrong guy.
Yeah.
Not thinking of the right guy there. Yeah, it's been a while.
I'll pull up the list. Continue.
All right, we're completely moving off of basketball here. Not great news. You're not a YouTube TV guy, are you?
Yeah, I have YouTube TV.
Oh, you are going to want to listen to this one. As of today, most of the Paramount channels are now going to be gone from YouTube TV, which include CBS.
What?
Yeah. They just raised their prices $10 a month earlier this year, and now because of a contract dispute, you're losing. It's a total of like 24.
The tournament's on CBS.
It is, yeah. But you're going to lose it as of today on YouTube TV. Now they're offering you an $8 a month, an $8 credit, so you can pay for Paramount Plus. But yeah, you're losing. It's more than just that, but that is the one that most sports fans are going to look at and say that's a problem. If you have children who like Nickelodeon, you're not going to get Nickelodeon. So that's a problem.
That's a blow to YouTube.
Yeah.
I like YouTube TV. I think the picture, for whatever reason, is much better than Xfinity was. Well, that's a problem because the NCAA tournament's coming up. And you've got the TNT channels and CBS that have all the games.
Yep.
So
that is not good for YouTube TV. I have a feeling that they're going to get it right by the time March Madness starts. This feels like a negotiating tactic. We see these all the time, but it's still not a great look after you raise your price $10 a month and then lose 24 channels a couple right. weeks later.
Okay, what else?
All right, the Jets officially are moving on from Aaron Rodgers. This is based on their Twitter account. That said, they're moving on from Aaron Rodgers, so he will find a new home. We knew that was going to happen. We heard reports, but it is different when they actually tweeted out themselves.
Does he play next year?
They're taking on $49 million in debt.
Where does he play next year?
Probably either Pittsburgh or retired.
I bet he doesn't retire. I bet he ends up starting somewhere.
I think he should retire. I mean, he's getting, like, what more are you playing for if you're Aaron Rodgers? Other than,
well, if he went to Pittsburgh, look.
Like, the guy's 41 years old.
He wasn't terrible this year.
He wasn't, but he wasn't good either.
We watched so many of those Jet games. He was not anywhere near the number one problem. By the way, it's not Andrew Bogut, people. He's Australian.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I've got everybody tweeting. No, it's not Bogut and it's not Bargnani.
No, Bargnani is very
He was Italian.
Italian.
I think it might be, me going through the list, I think it might be Kent Benson in 1977. He was the center on the last, undefeated NCAA championship team, the 76 Indiana Hoosiers. I think that's probably the answer. I'm pretty sure that's the answer. But it's, you guys are giving me guys that are, I said American born. Andrew Bogut was Australian, right?
Yeah, he's very Australian.
Yeah. I think Aaron Rodgers, honestly, I think he's going to start somewhere next year. I think the Pittsburgh call is a good call. Now, Arthur Smith wouldn't be the best fit, though, for him, would it? Would he be?
I mean, how many good fits are there for him right now?
Several. I'll tell you what, like a Kevin Stefanski fit would be good in Cleveland. You know,
could you imagine Aaron Rodgers going to Cleveland?
Cleveland's roster, Denton, is not terrible.
Is not, but he's a head case in himself.
By the way, don't you think Myles Garrett would then want to stay if they signed Aaron Rodgers or not?
No, I do not. No.
You're really down on Aaron Rodgers.
You're really up on Aaron Rodgers.
That's because I watched him this year, and he wasn't anywhere near their biggest problem.
But you
nowhere
act
near
like he automatically makes the Browns
he
a winner.
He still looked like Aaron Rodgers in a lot of those games.
But you think you feel like he automatically makes every team he steps on a winner. He didn't do that.
I didn't say that.
Then why
That's
would Myles Garrett stay? Because he
I
wants to play
in
for
in places
a winner.
Where you don't have a quarterback and you've got a decent roster, he could give you a chance to be a team that wins more games than loses. I'm not telling you that he's going to jump on a team and they're going to become a Super Bowl team. But if he went to Pittsburgh with that roster, Cleveland with that roster, they would be better. I mean, their big problem was drops, fumbles, defense took a major step back. The kickers kept missing field goals in close games. They weren't good, and I'm not saying that he was great this year, but I think the narrative on Aaron Rodgers is that he had some sort of horrendous season. He threw for nearly 4,000 yards, 28 touchdowns, and 11 interceptions. That's not a horrendous season. By any stretch of the imagination.
I don't think he played bad, but I don't think he was a solution because of all the other stuff. And
that's
like,
fair.
You can't ignore that the other stuff is coming with him.
The other stuff, the arrogance, the narcissism, yeah, that's a problem.
Plus, I don't think he wants to play. I don't think he really wants to live in Cleveland for a year.
I think it's his narcissism that makes it a lock that he comes back and plays for somebody. What are the what I know we were going to do this as a segment, like sort of the quarterback carousel at some point, but the quarterback teams are the Jets, the Steelers potentially, the Browns, maybe the Colts, the Titans, the Raiders,
mm-hmm.
The Giants. That's seven.
They wouldn't even have to move.
The Saints, that's eight.
We'll put Saints asterisk because they might want to keep Rattler for a year.
But okay.
To do the tank.
But you
bit.
Need a starting quarterback.
Yeah, start Rattler. If it doesn't work, you can.
Well, that's not going to work. Do you think that's going to work?
No, but I think if I'm Kellen Moore, don't you want your quarterback in year number two? If Spencer Rattler does, like if Spencer Rattler works, hooray, he works. If he doesn't work, you're in a much better draft, hopefully, for quarterbacks, and then you can take your guy.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Saints can't really afford anything anyway.
No, they can't. I mean, they have to pay you to come, or you have to pay them to come.
Look, you say seven, whatever. I say they're eight. That's 25% of the league that's going to be looking for a starting quarterback this year. That's a lot, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'll add an eighth team in there because apparently Matt Stafford is not coming back to Los Angeles, which is news to both of us.
I would wager big money that there's no chance he plays anywhere other than LA next year. That doesn't make any sense to me. That team was a good team at the end of the year when they got healthy. And he played at a high level. And still looks like he can play at a high level. unless they see something with him physically that we don't see. I mean, he was the closest to knocking off the eventual champion. They had the ball in the snow late until Jalen Carter blew up that play, that last play. What was he in that game in the snow? He threw for 324 yards and two touchdowns.
Yeah, he had a great game. That's why those rumors are like so out of nowhere. But they're too it feels like they're too much to ignore at this point. Like there's clearly something going on there.
Right. What else?
How about Alex Bregman getting a 3-year, $120 million deal from the Red Sox? I know we're not fully into baseball season yet, but this felt like it came out of nowhere. You know, we were positioned right next to our Houston affiliate in Radio Row, and they did a lot of segments about Mr. Alex Bregman thinking he'd still be an Astro, and he's going back to, or not back, but he's going to Boston.
Apparently, I was reading this morning that the $40 million a year, 3-year, $120 million from Boston was so far and above what the other offers from other teams were. Like it was $10 million or more a year difference from any other offer. Plus there's like opt-outs for him. Like it was a deal he could not turn down, essentially. So
yeah, $40 million a year. I'll take that one. Did you see that the Alabama athletic director suggests that if teams allow court storming, they should forfeit the game that was just played?
Say that again?
The Alabama athletic director made a suggestion earlier this week that teams that allow court storming after winning a game should have to then forfeit that game.
Well, that's absurd.
It's absurd. People,
Have they been court stormed a bunch this year?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, in football, for sure. Field stormed, court stormed.
Oh, you're okay.
Field stormed. He said for everything. Like, in all walks of sports, not that.
Can you imagine? I mean, the excitement of an Iron Bowl upset win for Auburn, let's just say, over top-ranked Alabama next year. And, you know, game now forfeited. Bama's the winner. Yeah, that'll never happen. Look, we've had these conversations about court storming and field storming before. It's like it just becomes a sport for college kids, and they do have to crack down on it because there is a safety issue involved. But, you know, if they just saved it for the moments that deserved it, there would be far fewer of them. Like, to me, you can't storm a court or you can't storm a field unless you beat number one. Like, they have to be ranked number one for it to be a court storming.
I don't know that you got to be number one, but you got to be high. Like, when Vanderbilt stormed the field after beating Bama, I'm totally with it. Because it's that program sucks. Bama does not. You just beat Bama. Storm. Fully there. I don't love it.
Like, which game were you talking about? The Vanderbilt game?
Yeah, the Vanderbilt with Diego Pavia. Like, away. But remember earlier this year, I think like Colorado stormed the field when they beat unranked Baylor? And like, I don't know about that one. I wouldn't have done that one.
Yeah, I think there was a year that we stormed a court against like a number 10 team or something like that. I think it was one of the first years we were in the Big Ten, and I think Wisconsin may have been ranked 3 or 4 or something like that, or maybe it was Iowa, and we won. And I'm like, no. We stormed the court when we beat a Duke or Carolina, who's number one. If Michigan State comes in here number one or Indiana does and we win, that's fine. I think there is a point that you've reached a certain status as a program where. By the way, all this conversation, it doesn't matter because, you know, we're not the ones storming the court. It's a bunch of kids who aren't paying attention to history and whether or not it's appropriate, whether or not this team fits the description of court storm worthiness. You know, so it's all ridiculous. If you want to stop it, you've got to prosecute people that do it. You've got to create a deterrent. But the deterrent is not forfeiture of the game. That's absurd. What else?
Matt Patricia heading back to, a job. He's going to Ohio State to be the team's next defensive coordinator after Jim Knowles left for Penn State.
Not offensive coordinator?
not offensive coordinator.
Not going to try as an OC?
I don't know who's the OC at UNC right now. I don't know who
we got a lot of OC DC openings in the NFL and key spots in the NFC, right? Detroit, Philly's OC. There's some big hires coming. They haven't been made, I don't think.
No, Philly definitely hasn't. They are celebrating still.
But Detroit hasn't filled their OC. Have they filled their OC? Oh, they did, right?
Did they? I don't know that they have yet.
Yeah, it was that guy, John Morton.
John Morton.
Yeah, but did they hire a defensive coordinator?
How dare they? Kelvin Shepard.
Okay.
Kelvin Shepard was he kind of stole the show a little bit in their Hard Knocks season.
Mm-hmm. What else?
Final thing here. Joe Burrow was on Pardon My Take, and he said he was open to restructuring his deal to free up money to keep both Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins.
You and I have both been saying that he wants Higgins back. He wants them both paid. And he said something to the effect of, Philadelphia keeps figuring it out. Why can't we figure it out? Other teams, and he specifically cited the Eagles, everybody seems to figure it out. Why can't we figure it out? They can. He's going to have to restructure his deal. He's going to have to take a lot of signing bonus. They're going to have to restructure it into signing bonus money and push a lot of the cap hits into future years. And then they can probably do it. And if Cincinnati, can improve defensively at all, they're going to be one of those teams that could easily turn it around in a big way. Given the injuries with Burrow, because what does he miss? Like two out of his 5 years in the league?
Yeah.
Is it two or three?
It's two, unfortunately.
Yeah, so this year was wasted because he was great. And they were really, really good offensively. They've got to improve defensively, and if Higgins comes back, I mean, I would certainly give them a chance in the AFC North, even with Baltimore there. Because Pittsburgh could be a step back year. By the way, tonight in college hoops, my Terps are underdogs on the road at Nebraska. I figured they would be. Nebraska's rolling. They've won four games in a row. They're actually a good team. They've got a true star player in Bryce Williams. I think he's averaging over 20 a game in the Big Ten right now. And that place, by the way, Denton, Nebraska in Lincoln, is truly one of the most underrated. You wouldn't think of it because they're not a basketball first school. They are a football school, even though they haven't had the football success that they had for decades upon decades in recent years. But that place is so tough to play in. They pack it 16,000 every night. You know, it's like, what else is there to do, I guess, in Lincoln, Nebraska, or even in the state of Nebraska? I mean, we've seen their girls volleyball team sell out their football stadium for matches. The love that Nebraska people have for that university and the support they give all of the programs is so impressive. I was not aware of it other than football until Maryland went into the Big Ten, but that place is a difficult place to play in, and they are good. They are right now currently on the right side of the NCAA tournament bubble per the latest Lunardi, and they can really solidify their position in the NCAA tournament by beating Maryland. So this is a huge game. Maryland kind of blew one last week on the road at Ohio State. They had a 17-point lead. This should be a hell of a game tonight. Probably, I think, on the board tonight, the best college basketball game out there, Maryland at Nebraska tonight. You'll hear that game right here on your home for Maryland basketball, the Team 980. Tip time's 8:30, and our pregame show will start at 8 p.m., correct, with Naki and Johnny?
Half hour before tip. Yep, Naki and Johnny on the call. Should be a fun one.
Yeah, it should be a good game. Let me mention real quickly that if you are ready to win big and live it up in Sin City, it's the Slam Dunk in Vegas on the Team 980. Listen for your chance to win a flyaway trip to Las Vegas with three friends and $20,000 in spending money for the first two rounds of the college basketball tournament. Winning is easy. Just download the free Odyssey app, log in, and listen to the Team 980 for a chance to win the experience of a lifetime. Listen each day for an hour to earn your daily entry. This is a national contest. More details available at odyssey.com/slamdunk. Could the tush push be outlawed in this offseason? That's next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
All right, we'll get to the tush push debate and whether or not the NFL might address it in the offseason. Excuse me, might address it in the offseason. But there's been a lot of follow-up to a couple of things that we've talked about today. Yes, Kent Benson is the correct answer. The last American-born white player drafted number one in the NBA draft, 1977. So that is 48 years ago. So Cooper Flagg has a chance to be the first American-born white male to be drafted number one overall. But some of you have gone deep diving into the game that I talked about with Eric Edholm. This is, I actually did not realize how record-setting this game was. It set one record in particular, but it was really close to setting a couple of records. In 1990, Washington played at Detroit. At the time, it was the biggest comeback in franchise history. People reminded me of the You Like It game. They were down 24-0. That's the biggest comeback in franchise history, You Like That game against Tampa Bay. But that held the record for many years. They were down 21 in the third quarter. Jeff Rutledge replaced Stan Humphries, who had thrown three interceptions, and in basically 2.5 quarters threw for 363 yards and a touchdown in the game. But Washington's comeback win over Detroit on that day, winning in overtime 41-38. They amassed 676 yards of offense in the game. That's the fourth most yards ever in an NFL game. Number one is 726 yards. That was the Dolphins game in 2023 early in the season when they beat the Broncos 70-20, when the Dolphins were just on fire early in 2023. But the record that Washington holds from that game, it's fourth most yards ever, is they ran the most offensive snaps ever in an NFL game. Counting penalties, 110 offensive plays in the game. 110, that's like college. That's even a lot for college. Washington, I didn't know this. I did not know that Washington's big comeback win, for those of you old enough or long enough fans to remember the Jeff Rutledge game. That's what it's known for. Jeff Rutledge, their third string quarterback in 1990. Rippon was the starter. Stan Humphries was the backup, although they went back and forth, you know, early in the year. And Jeff Rutledge was their third string quarterback, came in with Rippon hurt and Humphries starting, came into the game and led Washington to an unbelievable comeback victory. They ran 110 offensive snaps in the game. That is an NFL record. There's nothing in kind of recent modern football that comes close to that. In part, Denton, because back then, and I don't know when this rule changed, I'm going to say it was the mid-90s, every play that went out of bounds, the clock stopped and did not start until the snap of the next play. They changed the rule sometime in the mid-90s to when plays went out of bounds, they stopped the clock. But once the ball was marked, they rolled the clock. And in fact, you'll see games now, a player will be knocked out of bounds, and it's like they don't even have the ball marked, and they roll the clock. You know, they'll stop it briefly, but then they'll roll it. But that was the rule change. Back then, if you went out of bounds, it was a clock stoppage. It didn't start until the next play was snapped. So the most offensive snaps in games, all of these numbers are from, almost all of them are from 20th century football. There's one game in which the Bengals ran 99 offensive snaps in 2001 against Pittsburgh. So there you go. That's the record for offensive snaps in a game. Washington's, game against Detroit, 110. Number two on the list is 10 plays short of that. 1981, the Bears over the Chargers. The Bears ran 100 snaps. Washington, 110. There's your what do you got? Thank you for those of you that reached out to update me on that particular part of the box score. All right, we'll get to this tush push next. And then Mark Dominic, former NFL GM, will join us at 12 noon. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app. Joe Shad, who has been a journalist down in Miami for many years covering the NFL, he's been at ESPN and other places as well, tweeted out back in 2023, the tush push is not a legitimate football play. It's not how football was meant to be played. It's also lame and can cause injuries. Nobody except Eagles fans will miss it once it's banned in the offseason. That was October of 2023. It has not been banned, as most of you know. There was a rule change on it last year. The rule change was that the pushers needed to line up at least a yard behind the quarterback. So when we've seen it this year, it doesn't look that much different, but those, whether it's Goddard or whomever lined up behind Jalen Hurts, has to be a full yard behind the quarterback before the snap, rather than literally right on top of him. So he's not able to get involved in the play right from the jump. The Eagles, by the way, this year were 38 of 47 on brotherly shove, tush push plays into first downs or touchdowns. The nine times they failed, though, most of those were on third down, and eight of those then on the following fourth down play were converted. So they've been very successful with this play. 2022, they were 25 of 27. 2023, 35 of 42. They did miss one in the NFC Championship game on the two-point conversion, right? On the play in which Lattimore got penalized when it should have been offsetting penalties and the Eagles took that penalty and went for two, wasn't that a tush push that we stopped them on?
I think it was. Yeah, they stopped him at least once.
Right. The play that, you know, brought this back into conversation was when the Eagles were down at the goal line late third quarter and Frankie Louvu jumped over the top three times. I mean, everybody was cheating on that play. I mean, the Eagles were lined up in the neutral zone. Washington was lined up in the neutral zone. Louvu got caught offsides. And then we found out that there was a rule that could actually award the Eagles with a touchdown if it was done again. Mark Maskey, who for the Washington Post, I actually think he does a really excellent job covering the league and a lot of these issues that are on the periphery that I do think fans care about, but sometimes aren't top of mind unless they, you know, they announce that something's changed. So after the Louvu situation, the subject came back up, and Mike Pereira, the Fox, you know, NFL, you know, officiating expert, longtime NFL referee, was the, you know, head of officiating for many years, did say after that game, quote, "I think it will be a conversation this offseason. I think what happened in the championship game, the Louvu incident, was ugly," closed quote. Maskey wrote, the NFL and its competition committee indeed are expected to give ongoing consideration to a ban of the tush push play. A person familiar with the rulemaking process confirmed to him, this was during Super Bowl week, "That doesn't mean that a ban necessarily will be enacted either this offseason or in the future, but it is expected to remain a point of discussion." I really want this play banned. I don't really consider it to be a football play. You know, I just don't think that. It's not because Philadelphia is the best at it and we play them twice a year and they're in our division. It's not because of that. If the Cleveland Browns were really good at this play and they had success with it and they were in high-profile games and we watched it a lot, I would feel the exact same way. It is akin to other sports like rugby. It's not a football play. I'm not asking for the quarterback sneak to be banned. There's an easy fix to this. It's very simple. You're not allowed to aid a quarterback from either behind the line of scrimmage, at the line of scrimmage, or let's just call it a yard from the line of scrimmage forward, a yard beyond the line of scrimmage. There's like, you can't push the quarterback. They enacted a rule a few years back in which you were not able to pull a ball carrier forward from ahead of him. You can push a ball carrier in the field of play on your own team into the end zone. We see that all the time. But you're not allowed to, from the front, pull that player into the end zone. They outlawed that. I think it's real simple. You can push all you want once the player's beyond the line of scrimmage or a yard beyond the line of scrimmage. But I think this play is not what football fans want. You know, if you ask me, like, do I want this band or the old extra point band when they were kicking it from 20 yards? This is more impactful to the pleasure of watching NFL football. I want to see a third and one be contested by a defense in a normal football play situation and then executed by the offense. I want to see that. If it's just a quarterback sneak with a real physically imposing quarterback like Josh Allen or Jalen Hurts, so be it. I mean, that's their advantage of having those quarterbacks. But I just don't want to see this play continue. I hope they give it more serious thought. It sounds like Frankie Louvu may have accelerated or resuscitated the conversation on this with, that uncomfortable sequence in the late third quarter, early fourth quarter of that game. I'd like to see it banned. I'm not a fan of this at all. Denton, what do you think?
I don't really care if it's banned or not. I just want the officials to officiate it properly. The Eagles are always offsides. Like, literally, they're always offsides because it's a rugby formation. If you're going to allow something like this, cool, but have it follow the actual rules of football. You can't let those guys be offsides. And then on top of that, you have to allow the defense to at least attempt to stop it. Frankie Louvu was attempting to stop it. If you're not going to give the defense an option because you're going to allow them to be offsides, the only reasonable way to stop it is to jump over and torpedo the quarterback. I think Frankie Louvu should have done it until they awarded them a score to really expedite the process of fixing this. But I don't mind the play as long as it is a football play and it is officiated like a football play, which it's not. Right now, the officials are just letting them do whatever they want. I don't love that element of it. You have to allow the defense to at least have an opportunity to stop the thing.
Yeah, so I agree with you and I disagree with you. I don't think it's a football play. I just don't view it as a typical football play. I think it is more of a rugby scrum play. It's why I don't like it. I want to see a football play. I want to see a handoff. I want to see a normal quarterback sneak. I want to see a pass. I want to see a defense have a chance to stop this thing. I agree with you that if they're going to let it continue, the flags have to start flying on offense being in the neutral zone pre-snap and defense being in the neutral zone pre-snap. If you're going to allow this play, you've got to officiate it like it's a football play. Like, they're not officiating it like it's a normal football play, to your point, because they're allowing both teams to break the rules. We've seen it. We've seen the still shots. We've seen the line of scrimmage still shots over and over again. Philadelphia consistently lines up with their offensive line in the neutral zone, and the defense consistently lines up in the neutral zone. Yeah, and to the point that one of the only ways to be able to stop it is to time it with an athlete who can nail the quarterback, flying over the top, you got to allow that to happen. Sorry, if you want to flag it, if he jumps early, fine, flag it. But you can't award somebody a score. That's not an attempt to delay the game. It's not an attempt to make a mockery of the game. It's an attempt to stop a play that I think is making a mockery of the game. I hate it. I hope they do something about it. Longtime NFL GM Mark Domenech next.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.